Hello and welcome. This message is being recorded after the fact. It was a follow-up message that I did on a Sunday evening in our home following a Sunday morning. It was July 7th. The Sunday morning message was called Seeing the Invisible. And so I followed up in the evening with this message, which was called The Battle is in the Heavenlies. And we did not record it. And so I was encouraged to record it and put this online as part of the series on spiritual warfare. So the battle is in the heavenlies, and I begin by saying that we have to be able to see that which is invisible. And I don't mean that in some strange mystical way, as you will see and you will understand in a moment. But understanding what is happening invisibly, what is happening behind the scenes, has everything to do with how you as a believer will form your opinions about everything from politics to friendships, relationships, your enemies, your family, your circumstances. Rather than seeing these things in the natural, you must develop the ability to see them in the spiritual, to see them in the heavenlies. And we're going to see this term pop up as we go through this together in the Word of God. So we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, and it is a passage with which many of you are already familiar. It's been used many times describing our warfare, but I thought I would just lay this additional part of our foundation in this message by talking to you about what the entities are that we find in the Word of God here that we battle against. For the Word tells us in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And then he goes into the very well-known passage about the different aspects of our armor. But we have this list here of different spiritual entities, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and so on. And so I want to speak for just a moment about the meaning of these words in the Greek. Principalities is a Greek word, arche, A-R-C-H-A-I, which means ancient. And in Greek society at the time of Paul, when he wrote these words, it spoke of the highest position of rank and authority. And it speaks of positions that have been held since ancient times. And so when he begins now to speak of principalities and powers and these different entities, you will see that they are ranked. Just as earthly militaries are ranked in different orders of command, so are the armies of Satan. And so we have principalities as the highest position of rank. We have powers, principalities and powers. Powers is the Greek word exousia, which means delegated authority. So they are of a lower rank, and the authority is delegated just under that of principalities. These are evil spirits with delegated authority from Satan, and they carry out all manner of evil according to his plan to come against God's kingdom and God's rule and God's plan. The third one is rulers of the darkness of this age, or of this world, according to the translation that you're reading. This rulers is the word cosmokrateros, which, if we break it down, cosmo means order or arrangement, and krateros means raw power. So let's open this one for just a moment. This is raw power, which is harnessed and put into some kind of order or rank. It is the Greek word which is used for a military training machine. So if a young man entered the military, he was strong, he was healthy, he enters with raw power, but that raw power is then converted into an organized, disciplined army. This tells you and me that Satan is so serious about doing damage to the human race that he deals with fallen angels and demon spirits as if they were troops, just as we find in a military army. They are trained to bring destruction under his command. We are not to fear these things, but we are to be wise. And if we have no knowledge of what God's word speaks concerning our warfare, then they are far more clever and shrewd than we are. It continues in this list with spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it is a Greek word, porainos. And it depicts something so bad, so vile, so malevolent, so vicious, so malignant. And it is sent forth to afflict humanity in the most vile and wicked ways that you can imagine. And so all of that is to say that Satan's army is well organized. And it is a war machine. The entities that make up that machine are trained. They are sent out by Satan. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. We know that a believer cannot be possessed, but that does not mean that he cannot be harassed or that he cannot give place to the devil, as we're warned in Scripture not to do. And then notice in verse 12 that it is in the heavenly places. All of these entities are doing their work in the heavenly places. I'm leading you through something that will fall together in a few moments, but I'm wanting you to see this phrase, heavenly places and in the heavenlies, and how it is used. Satan uses all these evil forces to attack mankind, and he comes against mankind in horrific ways in order to derail believers from following the plan of God. Nevertheless, understand this, and I know that if you're a student of the word, you already know this. The believer has more authority and power than the devil and his forces all put together in the name of Christ, in Christ. So let me say it this way. The church has no shortage of power. The church has more power in Christ than all of these evil forces combined. But we lack something. Many times we lack something that these forces have. We lack order and discipline. We lack order and discipline. That includes living a holy and consecrated life in order that we might be aware and that we might know the wiles of the devil and be able to be strong and to stand against him. Now we see the basis of this authority if you turn backwards to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. We again begin to look at the heavenlies. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So again, we see heavenly places. And the Bible teaches, though we do not always understand or walk in the experience of this, we walk by faith, not by sight. And this word tells us, though it is contrary to everything that we may feel, that when Jesus died, if we are a believer and we have put our faith in him, then our old man died with him on the cross. We still battle against the flesh. We have times that we fail and that we fall. And I am not speaking of perfection, but I'm saying to you that in a way that is so real in the spirit realm, and I will begin to interject in the heavenlies, we died with Christ on the cross. And the more we have faith in that and believe in that, the more we will walk with him in resurrection. For he says that if we were dead with him, we were buried with him. And so when he went into the grave, we went into the grave with him. And then if we were buried with him, then when he came forth out of the grave, we were raised with him. But not only were we raised with him, and so now we have newness of life. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are made new. But also, we were raised with him and then ascended with him. As he ascended and was seated upon the throne of God, the Bible says that positionally, by faith, we are. This is the position from which we operate as a believer, the position from which we live, and importantly, the position from which we do battle, is that we are seated in him, with him, in heavenly places. That means in spiritual realms. We are with him upon the throne of God, and that means that everything about Satan and his kingdom is placed under our feet, if we could but see it and walk in it. So to be seated with him in the throne means that we are seated in a place of authority where he is, as he is. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we continue to build upon this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are going to read from 42 to 49. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul is speaking about the resurrection, particularly our resurrection to come, the resurrection of our bodies, because the Bible says that this body will be buried if Jesus does not come first, and then we will be raised incorruptible, the Bible says, a spiritual body. So let's just read this verse, verses 42 through 49. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. That means it decays. It is raised in incorruption, not to decay again. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now I want you to notice he's going to shift from the word spiritual to the word heavenly. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We were born with our natural body. When we're born again, we begin to walk in the spirit. And when we're resurrected, our body is transformed and becomes a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. We know this principle in the Word of God, first the natural, then the spiritual. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. In other words, Adam was the man of dust, and so all of us who are of the earth are made of dust first. And as is the heavenly man, that's Jesus, so also those who are heavenly. Now he has said first the natural, then the spiritual. Now he's saying dust and heaven, or dust made of dust and heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, who has just been described as a spiritual man or a life-giving spirit. And so we see that we have the natural and then the spiritual. We have that of the dust and then that of the heavenly. And I think that what I want to show you in this too is that, you know, Paul is speaking here of, as we bear the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That is speaking of the glorified body to come. But it is also true that as we yield to the Lord and as we walk in the Spirit and we are made more like him, whereas we did bear the image of our father Adam, now we bear the image more and more and more each day of the heavenly man, which is Jesus, the spiritual man, the man of spirit. We have to see these realities as just that, beloved. You have to see it as reality, not some strange mystical thing that we don't understand, but it is reality. Only if we see it as reality can it become reality for us. As we draw near to the Lord, we begin to live in a new dimension, not just the natural. We begin to see things from heaven's perspective. And now I'm coming full circle. For I began this by saying that we must begin to see things that are invisible. We must see things from the heavenly perspective, from the heavenly realm, rather than from our natural thoughts and the natural realm. We begin to see things as we walk with the Lord. As we bear the image of the heavenly man, we're going to see things like the heavenly man, the way he sees things. Natural gives way to spiritual / heavenly. He is using these two words interchangeably. We bear first Adam's image, but after salvation and consecration and sanctification, as we're growing and walking with the Lord, we begin to bear the image of the heavenly man. After all, we are seated with him in heavenly places, so we should also see things as he sees things. This is not a long message. I just wanted to give you something to think about. If you will look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We're still walking as a man of dust in the flesh. But that's not how we do battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against things that are in the heavenlies. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Remember, I've taught you before, strongholds are fortresses in the mind made of thoughts, thought added to thought added to thought. For when you first buy into a thought that comes to you from the enemy, and you let it find lodging in your mind, then other thoughts that are contrary to the word of God and to the mind of Christ, attached to that, build upon that. If you were told you were stupid all the time when you were growing up, and you buy into that and you believe it, then all types of other negative thoughts will attach to that, and you will find yourself in absolute defeat. You have to begin to believe what God says about you from the heavenly place, from the spiritual realm. What does God see? What does God say? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are to bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so it is not walking in the carnal, but in the spiritual, where we find that we have mighty weapons, weapons that are mighty in God. They are in the heavenlies. I'm just challenging you. I meet people all the time. I minister to people. I know people that every circumstance, every bad circumstance that comes their way is some cause to blame someone, or some cause to walk in defeat and blame perhaps themselves, and sometimes worst of all, to blame God. And never stop to think, as I have said so many times, our first question in a terrible circumstance should be, God, what are you saying? It doesn't matter if it's coming from the enemy. If God has allowed it, first of all, we ask God, what are you teaching me? What are you saying to me? And what do you want to show me in the heavenlies? What is behind this? What is the source of this? What is the thing that is causing this agitation in my circumstances or even in my soul that I am in this place of such warfare? God will show you from his word and by his spirit what his thought is on the matter. And he may give you tools to cast down the arguments of Satan. He may give you tools to literally speak to demonic spirits and tell them to stop harassing you because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. You're washed in the blood of Christ. You are a believer and he has no authority over you. Or he may even show you that it's your own flesh and that you need to be taking authority over these thoughts of your own, these thoughts that originated with you, but you need to change them by submitting to the Word of God. And so God gives us the strategy. Satan is a master strategist. He operates according to what the Bible calls wiles or schemes. We are not to be unaware, Paul says, of his schemes. We are to understand them, and then we have the counter strategy in the Word of God. God will show us what we are to do if we begin to look not according to the natural, but according to the spiritual, to be a heavenly man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is our last scripture. Chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. See, I want to encourage you this morning, those of you who are listening, not to lose heart in this battle, in your circumstance. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul, who wrote many of these things from prison, calls the suffering of this life a light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, oh beloved, listen to this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He doesn't say the things which are not seen are not real. The things which are not seen are eternal. And he's saying we have to learn to see them not with our natural eyes, but we need to look with spiritual eyes, the inward man. The inward man has to be renewed in the Word of God and in prayer, in being in the presence of the Lord. God will give you the strategy that you need in order to fight, in order to stand when you've done all and nothing seems to change. Then he calls you simply to stand. Stand in faith. In the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. But you are called to be not a natural man, not a natural woman, but a heavenly man, a heavenly woman, and to put your trust in unseen things that come from the throne of God, where you are seated with Him in heavenly places. How can you not have the victory when you're seated on the throne of God? I'm going to close in prayer. I want to pray for those who are listening. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word, and I pray that it will be an encouragement to those who have listened in on this recording, Lord God. I speak to them right now as though I were standing before them as a multitude, because I know that many will listen to this on the internet, and I lift them up in prayer. I encourage them by saying, put your eyes upon Jesus and not upon the things of dust. And Father, I thank you that you are faithful and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think or imagine. So whatever warfare your children are in who are listening, I pray that you would grant them victory. In Jesus' name, amen.